Everybody. Lord, we just commit your word to you right now. We ask, Lord, that you will bless it to our ears and our spirits, Lord. Help us to receive it. Help us to hear what you are saying into our lives. We pray for Wendy, Lord. We just pray your blessing upon her. Pray you'll help her and strengthen her as she goes forward into this year. Thank you that you are our comforter at all times, a very present help in times of trouble. So we give you thanks, Lord, and pray you'll bless your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, we're going into 2020, and I'm no doubt this morning there'll be many messages around the country about having clear vision, 2020 sight, as they say, and I guess this is no exception really. But I want to pick up the scriptures that I read at the beginning of the service from 1 John 1 and from Isaiah 6. And really what I wanted to share this morning is I want to ask us a question in this brief time, this little meditation, really, is how is your spiritual eyesight? How is your spiritual eyesight? How is your vision? And, you know, light existed before creation. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And it was only later that God created the sun and the moon. In Revelation, we see also that the light of men is the Lamb. Revelation 21, we could read that, which I'm going to skip over that because of our time. But just as a reminder, let me read from 1 John 1 again, one verse. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And also from Isaiah chapter 6, I just want to read the first three verses again. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And he cried to one another, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And really, what I feel led to share is how much of the light of God do we see? How much of God do we see? You know, Isaiah there, he said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. Jesus in John chapter 8 declares that he is the light of the world. We read it last week. Jesus said to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts. So I guess the first question really ought to be, have we seen that light? That's a prerequisite. Have we seen the light? And I know that here most of us have, if not all of us have. But that's a question to ask ourselves. Have we seen the light of God in our lives? At some stage, did we? People, they use that phrase, don't they? I saw the light. I once heard a chap give a testimony, a bit briefer than the ones we've had this morning. And it was at Hay Street, and he stood up. And this was an organized testimony in a gospel service. His testimony was this. He stood up and he said to me, this was his testimony. They said to me, have you seen the light? Seen the light? I said, it's blinding me. And he sat down. That's what I call a brief testimony. But that's the question. Have we seen the light? Because that is That is what happens when we're born again. We see the light. Something fits. Something switches on in our heart, doesn't it? But I want to ask us three brief questions this morning. Sorry, I've used my phone as a little stand here, and I had it portrait, and it switched itself off, and it's switching itself back on again now. And of course, it'll flash at me until I put the code in. So I've turned it round so that I'm not looking down and I can see it. So apologies for that. So the first question this morning is, what is our vision of the Lord? Bearing in mind Isaiah and what we read there. Do we see the Lord? Do we see the Lord? Do we look at him, if I can put it that way? Does he get our attention? You know, in Psalm 32, verse 8, God says, he will instruct us and teach us in the way we should go. I will guide you with my eye. I will guide you with my eye. How can somebody guide you with their eye if you're not looking at them? Okay. No, so guide you with your eye. Okay. Or, you know, whatever. But you've got to have eyesight. You've got to have connection with your eye, right? If you're going to be guided by God's eye, where is our attention needing to be? At his face. If we're not looking to God, then he can't guide us with his eye. Only if we're looking at him. In the worship team, you may notice that at the end of songs, hopefully, Fred and John are looking at me as the leader, or Steve as the leader, to see where we're going to go at the end of the song. Because, obviously, I'm playing and I'm singing, so I can't particularly point or do anything. So there has to be eye contact to see where somebody's going in terms of direction. And it's the same for us with God. We need to be looking at him in order for him to guide us. There's so many scriptures throughout the Bible. I listed a few. Psalm 24, verse 6, 1 Chronicles 16, 18, 2 Chronicles 7, 14, etc., etc., about seeking the face of God. Seek his face. You can look those scriptures up for yourselves afterwards. Psalm 105, verse 4 as well. Throughout the Bible, the Lord is telling us to seek his face. And there's an aspect in which our spiritual vision, we can seek the face of God. But that's not a casual thing. That's a determination to seek God's face, to come before him, to seek his face. Isaiah's vision, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Hallelujah. And Isaiah, who was, you know, we would say a holy man, a man who walked with God, a man who spoke on God's behalf to the nation, he declared he was a man of unclean lips. And yet God cleansed him. God moved in his life. So is our vision of God clouded by the business of life? That's a very straight question. That's a question we've all got to deal with, no matter what our business of life might be. For some it'll be career, for others it's family, for others it's other things. It can be anything. But do we allow those things to cloud our vision of God? What is our vision of God? And so the second question I want to ask is, are we walking in the light? Are we walking in the light? I just want to do a little visual demonstration. Glenn's going to help me. You might have to shut the door, Glenn. And so bearing in mind this question, are we walking in the light? Let's just see what happens. Okay, it's kind of spoiled. I did shut the curtains earlier on. I heard somebody say, what are you shutting the curtains for? Well, this is the reason why. When we... You can be walking down the street and you may be able to hear other people's footsteps, but you can't see them if it's really, you know, pea soupy fog. And that's what clouds do. They isolate us from God. The clouds of life, the cares of life, isolate us from God. So are we walking in the light, like John said? Oh dear. There we go. Thank you. Are we walking in the light? Are we walking in the light of God's presence? Romans 13:12, Ephesians 5:8, 1 Thessalonians 5:5, 1 Peter 2:9, all enjoin us to walk in the light. Walk in the light of God. And as we read in John 1, he says, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Okay? What he says is for us to confess our sin. Now, when we're in the dark, we hide ourselves away from the light so that the light doesn't expose our sinfulness. But in the light, we confess our sins and God cleanses us. So if you've been saying to yourself, oh, I'm not a very good Christian, or I'm not really walking with the Lord, or I'm struggling with this or that, well, that's exactly what John is talking about here. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the light does, the walking in the light. So are you walking in the light this morning? Psalm 119, famous verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I meant to bring in my bike light this morning and I forgot, which is why we've just done that with the lights. Because it shines a bright light onto the path so that you can see where you're going. That's the whole idea, isn't it? And that's what the word will do. If we use the word as the light of God, it will illuminate our path. It will help us to see where we need to go in God. This is walking in the light, allowing the light of God's word to shine in our pathway. I want to just read from John 1 now, not 1 John 1, John 1. Confused you will be. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's talking about Jesus now. He was in the beginning with God. He is the Word of God, the living Word of God, the expression of God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus is our light. He's the light of the world, as we mentioned earlier on. He is the living Word of God that shines the light on our path. And so as we apply the Word of God to our lives, we will get God's illumination as to the way we should walk in the light. And so that's the last question, really. Are we in the Word? And we can talk about Jesus, the light of the world, and walking in the light, but unless we bring it down to something tangible, something concrete, something practical for us to do, then it can just be spurious and something that we're talking about. But the question is, are we in the Word? And is the Word in you? How much time do we give to the Word of God? To allow God to shine his light on our lives so that we can walk in that light. But if we only give God a moment every day, then that's not going to be enough time in the Word for the Word to be shining on our pathway. So that's the challenge as we go into this year. What's your vision of the Lord? Are you walking in the light? Are you in the Word? That's the challenge for you. It's the challenge for me. And so I really want to encourage us If we start there with the Word, this is the Word. Jesus is the Word. If we allow the Word to shine into our lives, the Lord will increase our vision. The Lord will increase our vision. He'll lead us into these, that we talk about, sunlit uplands, don't we? Spuriously. But God will lead us into a brighter vision of Him so that we can have His light shining in our light. And that as His light shines in us, like Moses, when he came down from the mountain, his face shone. And I think some of the things that people have been talking about this morning, you know, if we reflect the glory of God in our lives, people will be drawn to that. People will see something different in us. So that's the challenge. How's your spiritual eyesight? A simple little meditation for us to think about as we go into the new year. How is your vision of the Lord? Are you walking in the light? And are you in the Word? Just commit that to you to think about and to apply as we go forward this year. Amen. Amen. We're going to finish with a song. And then after that, John is going to pray for us. We're going to take our offering. And the song is, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. I want to see you. So as we sing this song, let's think about these things and let's reach out to the Lord for His illumination.